This hour is brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer.
Noodles flying first class.
Old
Dog and I in the back.
Here.
We're all going to get to Chicago. How we get there doesn't matter, but we'll be there. Here I am, Chicago!
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Well, we're alive after one night in Chi-Town. Ryan, yesterday you said I'm going to have to carry the show, and I'm ready to carry the mail.
Really?
We are at the 2017 National Hockey League Entry Draft. Overdrive, Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, and Jeff O'Neill. We are here, and we are ready to rock, and the fireworks started early this morning.
Oh, they most certainly did, yes. Buddy. I'm shocked we're still allowed in the
what
building.
What an intro! What an intro that was!
You're on fire.
You're on fire, man, but your whole routine up at the podium taking pictures with Keith.
Why do you
AK
think that's so stupid?
Was so embarrassing.
It almost got us kicked out, basically.
No. I'm shocked that you didn't have your credentials revoked. Because if I ran this operation, I would have walked up to you three idiots and said, you're out. Yeah. You got to get out of here.
The thing is, I went up to two high-ranking officials with the National Hockey League, and I said, can you guys get out of the way? I got to take a pick.
was one of them the rum guy?
Last year in Buff?
I can't find him.
We can't find the rum guy.
He's dude. Pokeroo. He's here, man.
We're
going to
take a pick with that guy if we find him.
I'll bet you he put on a clinic in Chi-Town last night.
He had sex with rum and coke.
Yeah, he was.
I need to find that gentleman.
I do too. That mustache and those glasses.
Yeah,
and the drinking. He was our favorite guy.
And the Hawaiian shirt.
The Hawaiian shirt with the Johnny the Sports Horn chest hair everywhere.
Sure.
Honestly, I thought that was somebody's uncle last year at the bar, and we saw him directing traffic on the floor. I almost crapped my pants.
He was a general on the floor last year.
He was a general.
That's a true pro, though. That's a true pro. He knows when to take it deep, and he knows when to show up and dig in, even though if he was hungover or not.
That's right. And that's why we're here, and we're excited. Again, don't forget, TSN 1050's draft coverage is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Test drive the superior performance of a Subaru today. Big news out of the gate that doesn't even pertain to the draft.
Man.
Auston Matthews is all grown up, and he's coming on our show.
This is big.
In about 10 minutes, around 4:15. First interview since this time last year. We interviewed him day two of the draft last year on Saturday.
All right. Well, let's not screw it up. Like, we should figure out what we're going to ask this gentleman. Because
about,
I know you two are going to be gushing.
No. Come on, dude.
Well,
we're going to ask him if we talked about yesterday. Will there ever be an Auston Matthews Steakhouse in Toronto?
Oh, yes.
Because we walked by Michael Jordan's.
Yes, yes.
Ditka's.
I would like to ask about his suit game at the awards.
Okay.
I thought his suit was on point.
Yeah, we'll get to the bottom of the important things. Like, what does he think of Mitch Marner wearing jorts at a baseball game?
Yeah, because I think he tweeted or Instagrammed
out
that.
I think he supported the jorts, and he has his own pair.
I'll guarantee you he's got a pair of jorts. Like, he's kind of a fashionable kid. I mean, he's ahead of the game when it comes to fashion. So,
yeah, both of them are.
We're looking forward to that. Auston Matthews at 4:15. Already a bunch of moves happening today and a bunch of rumors in terms of what else could happen tonight. Because rumors that picks could move, maybe the Devils move off the first pick. The Leafs are picking 17th tonight. If they get involved in a trade, there are rumors out there. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, reporting that Travis Hamonic is available, or more than likely available, but you got to pay a price. And Dregs is saying it's going to cost two first rounders.
That's steep.
I just don't see that happening. I don't. I'm not sure any team will give up.
I would trade a first rounder and a prospect for that guy.
Hamonic. I mean, you got to remember.
Actually, you know what? You can't say that because who do you think is a better defenseman, Travis Hamonic or Adam Larson? You would say Travis Hamonic's a better defenseman, and they had to trade Taylor Hall to get him. So,
yeah, listen, Hamonic, you got to remember too, at $3.8 million.
Oh, that's a
steal. That's a great cap hit, and that will factor into the trade. I was talking to Scotty Mack about this on his show. That's the modern day NHL. It's not only about the players and the picks; it's about the money and the cap hit. And $3.8 million for another few years for a guy who's 26 and is a good player.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden you'd have a top four of Riley, Zaitsev, Gardner and Hamonic. That's a pretty solid
top solid four, absolutely.
But it's just a matter of whether or not you want to bite the bullet. And let's be honest, I'm sure there's a lot of Leaf fans, and this happens with every fan base throughout the league. You get greedy, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute, Jalmerson was available?
Yeah.
Why didn't they go kick tires on Nick Jalmerson or Trevor Van Riemsdyk or whoever else is in the news? But the Leafs, as always, keeping everything in-house, but you got to believe they're kicking tires on some of these guys.
They have to be.
And you'd have to think, too, that Lou probably was in on those conversations. It just when you look at it from Arizona's standpoint, they had a young defenseman to send back in Murphy for Jalmerson. Who would have been the guy to go back for Jalmerson? It would probably have been Zaitsev, as far as
which means least, you're
it's washing.
Exactly,
it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
I don't think Carrick's at that level yet. You would have had to have Carrick and somebody else or something like a lot to me more value there. So I
well, and that is obviously an issue that teams are allowed to ask for whatever they want. It's their
exactly.
players. And Jim Benning, the GM of the Canucks, came out this week and said if they're going to trade a guy like Chris Tanev, they need a young defenseman in return. So to your point, you're not going to do that if you're the Leafs because they don't have a surplus of young defensemen.
Exactly.
You know, Travis Dermott is a guy who's coming up, but he doesn't have that value yet.
No.
Connor Carrick doesn't have that value. I'm not sure he ever will. I think realistically his ceiling is maybe he's a four. So you got to remember that if you're a Leaf fan and you're trying to track where this is going. But I get the sense that Leaf fans would be disappointed if the Leafs didn't do anything at some point this offseason. It doesn't have to be tonight or this weekend.
Right.
But there are some teams that appear to be going in different directions. Like
I think the fan base understands now, and we talk about it a lot, where it's like, you know, we talked last year about the rebuild. It could be 6 years. It could be 7 years. And we talked about the city right here, Jamie.
Right.
How they went through a period of time where the picks weren't hitting and they were a garbage team and they had a bunch of misfits.
Kyle Calder and Tyler Arneson.
All of them.
Like, look
all
up
of
those
them.
Names.
But for Toronto, that's just not the case. And it went into hyperspeed here. And the window of opportunity might be when these kids are on their entry-level deal. So I think the people are trying to feed off that. What are you laughing at?
I'll tell you later.
Oh, really?
There's just, I got something going on.
We got
on
lots
here.
Of moving
yeah.
parts
I
right
thought
now.
I spotted someone, and I think you might be happy about it, but continue.
Is a security guy there?
I thought I saw him walk over there. I thought I saw our boy from Buffalo. I'm not
really?
Even kidding you, but all anyway.
Right.
You were saying, oh, dog.
Just
I
think the fans
off.
Kind of understand that the rebuild is not going to be very long, and just to kind of keep the momentum going, where they're like, okay, well, this is where we're at right now. We're going to add to it, and let's see where we're at next year.
Here's another thing: some of these trades, like, what the hell is going on in Arizona? Like, seriously.
Well, like, I mean, listen, they acquire Stepan, they acquire Ranta, they acquire Jalmerson. So technically, they're a better team. They got better
absolutely.
Players, but. Are they impact guys that are truly going to change the organization?
Well, the general manager came
Arizona.
Out today and said, we've been looking for a first-line centerman for 10 years, and they acquired a third-line centerman who's rapidly declining in his play. They what do they think? They got a starting goaltender with Ranta? Sorry,
yeah.
He's not a starting goaltender.
Yeah,
and
I
Jalmerson's
agree.
A good defenseman. But
I love Jalmerson. I hate to see him go to Chicago.
He's a two
and
or
I'll
three.
Tell you what, we just talked to Bobby Mack about what Stan Bowman, whatever he's doing, you
got
to give him credit. He's got some stones.
Yeah, absolutely.
He is not stones. Afraid to think ahead of the game and try to be proactive.
Yep.
Well,
I don't really like their roster right now, but
who saw Panarin for Saad? I mean, no, that was not rumored. That
no.
was not out there.
But
that
I actually,
was a bombshell.
I was telling you guys in the cab on the way over. Like, did Saad have the quietest 30? Last year?
No
he did. Kidding.
Yeah. That's like 2 years in a row, he's had quiet seasons
like
in Columbus.
Quiet, but like real productive. He's a hell of a player. He's a great skater. He's a bigger body. And as soon as I heard about that trade, I actually Googled and went back and looked at Stan Bowman's comments at the end of the year on his team losing in the first round. And one thing is he felt that they got pushed around. And a guy like Panarin... He's a softer player. He's a skilled player, but I think Saad has a little bit more beef to him, and maybe that's something that factored in.
I'm Jeff O'Neill. I'm with Brian Hayes and Jamie McLennan here at the 2017 NHL Entry Draft, and we are having a blast. We are on location here at the United Center, and we've got a busy afternoon here, Brian, don't we?
Oh, we most certainly do, Jeffrey. Thank you very much for that eloquent. I'm not even sure what that was.
I am just I beyond jacked up.
Yeah,
this
you're
year.
Fired up.
But you know what? Let's see how it lasts for 7 hours
well,
from now.
You better be humming at 10:30.
Someone texted me and said, you better calm down or your boss might want you to be excited every day.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Don't throw out something that you can't.
Hey, you asked me to carry the mail today. I'm carrying the mail.
Don't set the bar that high because, you know,
we're going to go find the security guard and have a rum and coke with him.
Yeah, we got to find him because I think he's in the building. We've got Brian McCabe going to join us around the table later this afternoon.
Have we had anyone texting him or we're just guessing?
We're hoping.
We think he's going to show up at our table.
I can't wait to catch up with Brian McCabe. He will be legendary as always. Duthie's in the house. He'll join us around the table.
Yeah.
But the future captain of the Maple Leafs is going to join us. We just don't know the timeline or when it's going to happen. But Austin Matthews is going to check in. First time we catch up with him in a year.
Yeah.
Let's see what the interview skills are like. He's all grown up. He's not a rookie anymore.
Yeah.
Austin Matthews will join us next. We are live from the NHL Draft in Chicago, and this hour is brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer and its brand new beer, Lighter Up, a flavorful light lager that's both flavorful and light. Couple flavorfuls there. Lighter Up Lager, now available at select Copa groceries and beer stores. Austin Matthews will join us here momentarily. Rookie of the year, but now he's moving into his second year.
Veteran.
He's a vet, and obviously the face of the team.
Absolutely.
We don't believe anyone will be anointed the captain this summer. It doesn't feel like it, the way that Lamoriello has kind of handled everything and what he's had to say and Babcock has had to say. But it does feel like at some point Matthews will end up being the guy, as he should be. I mean, he's a young leader. He's a great player. We're live in Chicago, and you guys are pointing at people on the floor.
It's Joe Neuendijk. I want to say hello to him.
We found our guy.
We found the grit grinder from Buffalo year ago. He's in the house. I told you I spotted him.
And he's got a rum and coke name, too.
He is a beautician.
Yeah, we're going to talk to that gentleman before the day's over.
We need a backstory on
him. I want to go for a drink with him later.
We have to.
Yes.
We absolutely have to.
Thick mustache, too.
But we got a guy on the line.
We got a guy.
We got a guy who we haven't spoken to in a year. Last year in Buffalo, obviously he went first overall. The next day he popped by the booth. We had a nice
chat.
Said
hello. We had a good chat. And then a year later, he's a superstar.
And not much really happened.
No.
Over the year.
Not much.
Not much significance.
Winning awards, scoring goals, doing it all.
Whatever. 4 goals opening night, 40 on the season, couple in the playoffs. Here he is from the Maple Leafs, Austin Matthews. How's it going, Austin?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
We're doing pretty well. I mean, we were obviously just joking around. When you look back on that season, it culminated in a Calder a couple of nights ago. When you look back on your rookie season, with all the amazing moments, is there one that will stick out that will be the most memorable for you long term?
I mean, there's quite a bit. The first game was a pretty special night for myself and my family, and the Centennial Classic was pretty cool as well. So I mean, we're pretty fortunate to play in a lot of cool events this year, and the season flew by itself. So looking forward to the upcoming one here soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's around the corner, and going into your second year, like we said, you obviously lit the league on fire right off the
hop. How do you top it?
Yeah, how do you improve on that? How do you go into an off season hoping to improve on the season you just had?
I mean, there's always things you can improve on, but I think individually, as a team, everybody, we want to take a step forward. As a team, we want to make it further in the playoffs, and as a player individually, I want to do more, and I think that's the way it is throughout the whole locker room.
We're chatting with Austin Matthews. We're live in Chicago at the NHL Draft. Overdrive continues.
Austin, who was happier for you when you won the Calder? Was it your parents and your father, or was it your second father, Mike Babcock, who was sitting behind you?
I don't know. It's probably a pretty close call between those two, but it was nice. Nice to have them there, and obviously, Mike's been great for the team. Learned a lot from him all year, so it was pretty cool.
He was jacked up, man.
Did you understand, Austin, that it was like a slam dunk you were winning it? I mean, everybody in the world knew. Did you understand that you were a lock to win that award?
Not really, honestly. I mean, come on. When you look at the rookie class, it was a pretty good rookie class there outside of the top three as well, but I didn't think it was really going to be a runaway. I thought it'd be pretty close.
Well, when you take a look at your first season, and Brian was just asking you about it, you had heard a lot about the Toronto market. Now you're 1 year underneath your belt. Was there anything that caught you off guard as far as, the media attention, the fan attention? You'd heard about it. Now you've lived it. Looking back on it, was it something that it was a seamless transition, or did you have to work at it?
No, you don't have to work at it. You can't really... know what to expect until you kind of go through it. And I mean, throughout the whole year, it was kind of, a learning process as far as the media and the constant attention you get playing for the Maple Leafs. But, I think all of us, especially the young guys, we just kind of embrace it and, learn as you go on. And, we've got pretty fortunate. We've got a great, great staff of not only coaches and management, but, media, PR people that are always there for you. And, it definitely kind of makes that transition a little bit easier.
Connor McDavid wore the captain or the C on his jersey in year two. Is that something you think you'd be ready for if Mike Babcock and the organization brought that to your attention?
It's not really up to me, but whether I have a letter on my jersey or not, I mean, I want to be a leader on the team and lead by example. So, but that's not really something I think about too often. If it happens, then it happens. But if not, then I'm going to continue to be the person I am. Continue to, I just want to play hockey. So just continue to deal with it on and off the ice.
We're chatting with Austin Matthews of the Maple Leafs. We're live in Chicago for the NHL draft. If you were to be become the captain, would your first move be telling Mitch Marner not to wear jorts to a Jays game?
No, I think I'd actually encourage it.
What?
You really? Support that move?
I support it. I thought I was actually pretty caught off guard the fact that he threw those on and went out there. But I was a big fan.
Okay, so let me ask you something. I was kind of looking for some. I don't know if you know what I look like, but I'm a little stockier than you guys. Where do you recommend I get some jorts?
I don't know. I don't know if I'd recommend it for a frame type like yours, but I don't know.
What do you mean by that?
You a look frame like a construction type, worker in jorts.
Thicker gentleman. That's what he's trying to say.
Oh, yeah. So I got to go to big and tall? Is that where I got to get my jorts?
Just big stick and tall, to I think that's the story.
Yeah, there's a few
Get
of those.
This guy off the phone.
with Austin Matthews here on Overdrive. Speaking of the Jays games, you went to a Jays game shortly after the season. You were spotted behind home plate, and that picture blew up into a meme. You had a hat on. You had glasses on. Were you in disguise at that point? Were you hoping that people wouldn't recognize you, or what was going on there at the Jays game?
Yeah, that's what I was going for. I actually had one of my good friends from home in town, and we were just going through the CN Tower, just kind of doing some sightseeing. He hadn't been in Toronto, so we went to a Jays game, and lucky enough, got some good seats. So it was a fun time. That was pretty good game. The Jays ended up winning, so everybody was happy.
We had Drew Doughty at TSN a couple weeks ago, and he said one of the elements of playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs is dealing with the fame. Everywhere you go, you're recognized. How do you find that experience? Is it something that, you kind of like it, or does it bother you? Is it annoying? What is it like being one of probably the most famous person in Toronto walking the streets?
Well, definitely an adjustment. I can't say I hate it or it's annoying because, I feel pretty fortunate to play in a city like Toronto that cares so much about the team. So, but I think there's obviously some times where you like it to be a little bit more private, where you don't have to stop every 2 minutes and take pictures or sign something for a fan. But so I think it's nice. You kind of find a good in between. You find your spots that you like to go to where it's a little bit more low key and not as many people, but like I said, I think that's how it goes for everybody on the team. They feel pretty lucky to be playing in a city like Toronto that cares so much.
Let's bring it back to the ice. Talk about your experience in the playoffs. I mean, we were in the building game six. Fans are into it. How big of a level or big big of a step up was it from the regular season to the playoffs, and kind of what did you learn through that whole process?
It's a pretty big step. I mean, honestly, it's the best hockey, and, you know, you hear everybody say it, but it really is. It's so much fun. You know, the atmosphere, just the building, especially Toronto with, you know, the fans outside, the square, the fans inside the arena. I mean, it's just a whole another level of excitement in hockey. So, you know, I think it was a good experience for us as a young team to kind of get our feet wet in the playoffs and, you know, going against the best team in the regular season. And, you know, I thought we did fairly well. And obviously there's a lot, you know, we can learn from that series moving on.
We're chatting with Auston Matthews, and that's the beauty of getting to the playoffs is now the expectations, they rise. And the city really jumped on board with you guys this year and loved the ride. And now I think fans are getting a little bit greedy. They want to see you guys take that next step. And it might start a weekend like this one where maybe some deals go down. As a player, I mean, are you tracking what the Leafs are doing, what the rest of the team is doing, your hometown team, Arizona? They've been making a ton of moves here in Chicago. How are you tracking all the action?
I mean, you see it, you get updates on it and everything. And, yeah, it's kind of that time of year, I guess, where, with the draft going on and free agency and the teams are kind of looking to make some moves. But it's definitely a pretty interesting time.
Well, we're looking forward to having you guys back in town in September, and it was obviously just an incredible season. Congrats on winning the Calder, and enjoy the rest of your offseason, and thanks for doing this. We're looking forward to chatting more in the future.
No problem. Appreciate it. Thanks.
There's Auston Matthews.
Yep.
Our security guard, buddy, is right in front of us.
I just snapped a photo of... I can't believe Brian Hayes kept his composure. This guy walked 12 feet away from us and looked us dead in the eyes with his giant mustache. But we did a good job.
We're sitting here talking to Matthews.
We're talking to the biggest star in Toronto.
Here's the thing. I'll bet you if Mullen, go back and get my last question where I was trying to ask.
Barely keeping it together.
I was trying to keep my composure because I'm tracking this guy. He's walking towards us. The mustache is just growing.
And
I'm trying to get a question out to Auston Matthews.
I thought Auston was great.
Yeah, he's going to handle this properly. I think,
absolutely.
Oh, you asked him the appropriate question, like what Drew Doughty had to say and what's it like. And he said, listen, He might be the most popular guy in Toronto.
There's no question. I thought it was an excellent question.
It was.
You were drooling when I fired that one.
It was very well put together.
The way I threw the Doughty thing in there.
Here's the thing. It was actually a remix of the question I asked 5 minutes earlier.
Yeah, it was.
You already asked that?
I had asked him that kind of question about the adjustment to coming to Toronto. You had heard about Toronto. Oh. What was it like?
Yeah, there was a different element to it.
I was
different element, but he kind of he mowed your lawn a little bit.
Yeah, he was faxing.
There was a bit of Brad faxing in there.
Look, it was all good. Jack running the show over there, earpiece in.
That guy.
This guy's Secret Service.
I love this guy.
We got to get AK to go snap a photo of this guy and then put it on the Twitter account. At least let people know what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about our guy down here in Chicago. He was in Buffalo, and he's running security. He's a general of the floor, man.
He drank 1,000 rum and cokes last year in Buffalo, and he probably went to work last night.
Oh, yeah, man. And he's here, and he's ready to rock tonight, and so are we. We're going to be enjoying this whole process, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can feel a buzz here in Chicago.
And I think
there's
going to be some wheeling and dealing coming up.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, Vegas might be trying to move up in the draft. Maybe the Devils would be willing to move a piece or two. And, of course, we're waiting to see if the Maple Leafs are going to do anything as well. So we're live in Chicago ahead of the NHL draft. We're here all night. And James Duthie, our main man, will join us around the table. We'll get to him next. We are live in Chicago ahead of the NHL draft tonight. Overdrive continues until 7 p.m. Then the Tatman and Dave Poulin will be in studio back in Toronto, but the three of us will be kicking around all night, giving you updates on what's going on down here. As of now, the Devils are on the clock, but some rumors out there, maybe they would be looking to move that pick. And look who has joined us around the table, our main man, James Duthie. What's happening, James?
I'm good, boys. How are you? Had a good few days in Chicago.
Yeah?
Caught you at Wrigley the other day, huh?
Caught a foul ball. How about that?
Wow.
Really? Barehanded? Like ripped it out of the air or what?
Okay, well, not quite. So
you catch it or your daughter did?
No, I did. Come on. I brought my daughter along, first baseball game, first Cubs game, first inning. And so I was so funny because there was about three hits straight back, and I'm going, man, I'd love to catch a foul ball for her. And but I said, we're not in a good position. Like, we're about 15 rows up on the first baseline. So then one goes up. I'm like, I got this. And there's her, then an empty seat, and then about these four teenage girls. So I pushed her out of the way, my daughter. And I'm like, I got this. I was reaching out, and then I said, I can't. This like this teenage little 16-year-old's got her hands out. So I kind of pulled back, and she completely whiffed. And it took one hop right into my hand.
Well, but here's that was a gamble.
You're a jerk
though.
For not giving it to them.
Well, so okay, my first move was I started to reach out to her, then I got my 13-year-old daughter behind me, so I had to give it.
Yeah, you got to give it to your girl. But here's the thing though, with that move, what? Duffy, if you go for the reach and then pull away, and she takes one off the head or something,
I didn't even reach in front of her. I started to go. It wasn't like that. It wasn't the straight pullback.
It wasn't a last second, you're on your own move.
And the other thing I realized afterwards, I was in the greatest section ever. It was all, it was a bunch of teenage girls and senior citizens. So there was no, I think everybody just ducked.
Perfect.
I had the ball, and they're like, who caught the ball? Who caught? Yeah, just bounced right in.
You're a star there. But
make it happen, man.
I was terrified of being that guy, though, who rolled over the teenage girl and concussed her and first aid was coming.
Oh, yeah.
And the WGN broadcast would be focusing in on me.
Yeah.
You're all over ESPN. It would have been a disaster.
It's on Deadspin.
Have you had a deep dish yet?
No, I went thin slice last night.
Thin slice in Chicago.
I can't eat like 8 pounds of bread.
Oh, I can.
I'll eat a deep dish right now if it came in.
I would fall asleep. I would go Phil Jackson.
Let's order one in here.
I think we could.
Yeah.
You think we could actually get the DiGiorno's or whatever? What is it? Giordano's or something?
Yeah, something
DiGiorno?
Like that. No.
We should get a DiGiorno going. Let's just get an oven somewhere and roast one up.
We'll be all right.
I always get greedy when we're down here. Like we've been going to the draft for a number of years, and things happen. There's been a bunch of trades today.
Right.
Yet I sit here at 4:40, and I'm like, I want more. Give me more.
You'll get more.
Do you expect a lot to happen tonight, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing something with the boys, the insiders, in a little bit. But I think right now the most interesting thing is Vegas trying to maybe make a splash and get, if not into the top three, maybe as high as number one. Because the belief would be that Dallas spot at number three is available. And so Vegas could get that. And then if they get that, you know, a lot of talk is that Shiro likes his Cale Makar, but wouldn't take him at number one. So would Shiro then and the Devils be willing to go down to three and then Vegas makes a splash and gets to number one and takes Patrick or Hischier or whatever?
Well, I would love to see movement. Like, you don't see it that often in the NHL draft. You know, like, it's because of the players who are available, with all due respect to them. Matthews wasn't getting dealt. McDavid wasn't getting dealt. But this feels like a year.
No, it's beyond that. The last time a top three pick was dealt was 2003.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That was the first and third in the trade that Pittsburgh ended up getting Fleury. So I'm with you. And I've always said the proportion to stuff that is talked about down on this floor to what usually happens is about 10-1. Now, I think that's different this year.
Right.
Because the Vegas thing has thrown everybody off kilter. Like, that, you take that Saad Panarin trade in the middle of the season.
That's a monster.
That's a meaty.
It is.
That's 2.5 hours for you guys.
That's a full show.
Right?
Yeah. It's a lot
full
of
full show.
And today, it's just another one of those things. So I think we'll have more for sure.
Well, we talked a little bit about this earlier in the hour, about where certain teams are going. And I look at the Rangers. They trade Stepan. They trade Ranta. Rumors out there, maybe they're trying to open up some space to go after a guy like Shattenkirk or someone like that. But they feel like a team that has been a perennial playoff team, kind of a beast of the East, always there, generally a good team, could be going the opposite way. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of those teams who have been up at the top for a while that maybe you're starting to fall back a little bit. And that's why I think if you're a Leaf fan, you're getting greedy because you're thinking, let's steal that spot and be sitting atop the East for the next 10 years.
Well, I look at what's happened in the West, where the West was this massive powerhouse, and then all of a sudden, really, it was this year or near the end of last year where you started to go, hey, the West isn't that good anymore.
Right.
Right? And this year was really the year where suddenly L.A. and Chicago and all these guys became human.
Right.
And Nashville comes out of the West with a decent team, but that's about it, right? A decent team.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that, you know, Pittsburgh's going to be Pittsburgh, but if that happens in the East, you're right. Like, things that the thing I find about where we are right now is everything can be turned on its head so quickly, and we could get this by the end of this season. The powerhouses in the East could be Toronto and blank, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think they're entering an era where it's...
Powers are shifting here, and you're right, especially the team that resides in this building. I mean, Chicago feels like they're in a weird place because they know they're locked in on their big boys, but Hose is not playing now. Couple of other moves that have maybe taken a step back, and I think they realize they could be in some trouble with the cap and where they're going.
Well, Toronto fans should understand that when these young kids all want to get paid, there could be the similar issues in Toronto.
But if you get three cups, it's worth it.
You're damn right.
Yeah,
it
you
is.
Like Chicago?
Well, if you get one, it's worth it.
Absolutely,
probably, isn't it? For
yeah,
100%.
One is three. Let's start with one and then work our way backwards from there.
Absolutely.
I think the old thing you go with the suspensions in the playoffs that one game's worth three. That's cups in Toronto.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, I've made that case before. This is such a radio topic I've thrown out before. Would you take one cup for them to be dead last for the next 20 years?
Yes.
Would you do that?
Really?
Yes. Yeah. So they win the cup this year, and then the next 20 after that, they are dead last. They're the worst team in the league.
I don't know.
I think most of your fans are going to say yes.
How about make it more reasonable? Five. Five
no,
straight
no,
years.
No, well,
five's
not,
ridiculous.
Everyone's going to take that.
Everyone.
Yeah, of course.
20
man.
Is, double digits.
I would.
20.
20 is
20 is ridiculous.
That's such
man.
A long.
It's a hypothetical 10, radio topic.
10.
It's been 50 years.
I just spotted
right,
O-Dogs.
Here's the question before we let you go. I guess you guys will have a tough time answering this because you're professionals.
Pizza?
You
right.
have journalistic integrity. But
well,
let's
I
say.
I don't know. Have you listened to my podcast?
That's true. Maybe not. How if for the Leafs to win a cup, how many last place seasons would you take after that?
That's a poll
what
question.
What would your number be? Would you say I could deal with 5 years after that, 10, 15? Like, where would the limit be?
I would
be?
Say, like, just again, I don't have any feelings towards the Leafs, but I would say 10.
So you would take cup and then 10 years
yeah,
of just...
Yeah, because I think you could live it off for a decade, but once you get into the teens, it starts to get a little painful.
I think you're probably right. I think that's probably the number. All right, buddy, enjoy yourself down
okay,
here.
Okay, boys, have fun.
There he is, James.
I'll check
Duffy.
In with you later because I have nothing to do and I'm going to be bored.
Hey.
Go interview John Ferguson Jr. He's right over
he's
there.
Right. I just spotted him.
Drake's has exclusives for him forever.
JFJ.
Yeah. Drake's does the only interviews with JFJ.
All right.
It's his guy.
I can't confirm nor deny.
What are the chances we get him on the show today?
Yannick Perreault has
I'll
been
leave.
Traded.
You would
way.
Leave?
Gentlemen, we've made a trade today. We've acquired Yannick Perreault from Phoenix. Good job, Ferg. We've also made another transaction to bolster our defense. We've acquired Luke Richardson from Columbus.
I like Luke.
But I can't confirm nor deny that. He's a
so
loser,
he,
man.
He would announce the trade and then not confirm or deny if it actually happened.
Guys, can't confirm nor deny. I'm thinking we brought in Luke Richardson from Columbus.
Well, Brian McCabe expected to join us at some point this afternoon.
Boy.
And he knows
he is
JFJ.
One of our favorites.
It's a hardworking gentleman.
Yeah, he's a high-ranking
official.
Fellow, man.
He's a high-ranking official in the National Hockey League and on our show.
Yes.
That's right. So Brian McCabe will join us later in the afternoon. Ray Ferraro is going to join us around the table. We're going to have a bunch of people pop by. But, again, a lot of movement. And Duffy's right. I mean, this is the beauty of the NHL draft. Is that Panarin for Saad, that's a big deal.
Massive.
Massive deal. And we're like, okay, what else do you have?
Yeah, keep it.
Like, give
keep
me more. I want the first pick to get dealt. I want the Leafs to trade for whoever it is. And that's the beauty of being a fan. And this is why I always talk about...
Trades.
Trades.
Movement.
There's nothing like trade rumors. And when trades actually happen and they get followed through on, it's an epiphany. It's the most beautiful thing that can happen for a fan.
Well, I had one hypothetical I was thinking about today. In the new CBA, would you be down for maximum length of contracts, 5 years, and no move clauses taken completely out?
Absolutely. I would try. I would be pushing for that.
Because
like if
that,
I ran
that
the
just
league,
opens the door.
Exactly. Like that's, and I know. The fear would be, because the NBA is trying to claw back.
Right.
They don't want these super teams. They want more parity.
Right.
And the fear would be the smaller market teams or whatever, the Canadian teams potentially could be damaged by that because players would be like, all right, get me out of here.
Right.
But from our standpoint and just from a sheer entertainment standpoint, I think the more movement and the bigger players – that's what gets people buzzing.
Right.
Like, in the NBA, we're talking this time next year.
If LeBron...
Is LeBron going to leave again? And if he does, That's
who's going with them, and like
exactly.
You're right.
It's that's the third time he'll be changing teams.
It's crazy,
you know. And in the NHL, Crosby's going to play his whole career in Pittsburgh, more than likely. You know, Drew Doughty will stay in L.A. It just you just don't see the superstars.
Well, I'm shocked with the amount the way the guys get locked in. I'm shocked that more players don't go and say, "I'd like a change." They're just quite content to just ride it out.
Yeah, well, it's true, but. You could go a little farther. I could say, do you believe Auston Matthews will be in Toronto his whole career, and do you believe McDavid will be in Edmonton their whole careers?
Well,
I'd say no. One of them is not going to be in there. No, whether it's McDavid or if Matthews wants to, we can't discount the fact that maybe at some point Arizona
maybe.
Turns around and he goes, eh, when he's 32, I want to go home to Arizona.
Yep, potentially. I mean, the
never
same.
Know.
Anything can happen, and you're right. If you're talking about 20 years,
yeah, you're talking.
There's a lot of potential. The Leafs could be a disaster in 10 years, and he could say, I want out. Like, that's something that doesn't happen much either. I mean, we're live in Chicago for the NHL draft tonight. This organization, Chicago, has been the staple of the NHL for years now.
Yeah.
But what if they took a dive? What if they became a disaster and started embarrassing themselves? Would Taves and Kane
say,
get me out of here? I mean, we don't see that a lot in terms of the superstar players.
And let's not forget, they were there. Like, before Taves and Kane came, this organization wasn't on TV locally. I would come in and, to this building, and there'd be 11,000 fans in the building. Like, it took a while for them to turn it around. So it's the cycles. It's like the LA Kings. They struggled for a while. Pittsburgh struggled. And then you had generational players turn them around. That's what's happening in Toronto.
Right. And that's why, again, Leaf fans, they're looking ahead and hopefully envisioning the same experience that Blackhawks fans got to experience. And Kings fans and Pittsburgh fans have experienced for the past decade or so. And, again, in terms of the Leafs and where they currently stand, they haven't done anything. I'm not sure if they will this weekend. I mean, in previous years, you look at the Kessler deal a couple of years ago.
Right.
They planted seeds at the draft and then made deals a week or two later.
Uh-huh.
I could see that being the case, but I know Leaf fans are tracking the defenseman. I mean, that's all we've been talking about. Maybe that's something that would potentially throw people off is if the Leafs made a deal for a fourth-line center or a backup goaltender, because
right.
there are other holes, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're not a perfect team. They've still got to keep growing. So we're so focused on the back end for obvious reasons. That's the most obvious hole that has to be filled.
Right.
But they're going to need a fourth-line center. You can always use upgrades. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kovalchuk, we haven't even brought him up.
I don't think he makes sense.
I'm not saying he does, but he's out there, and presume he's going somewhere.
Yeah, but that
and Lou's got a history with him.
Doesn't he have to sign with New Jersey before he goes anywhere?
He's got to go through Jersey.
Yeah, he has to go through Jersey, but the trade is through them. I don't know. Put it this way, and I've argued with you guys. Argue's the wrong word, but I've said that Kovalchuk would be. You want skill, you want talent, regardless if he's a fit or not. He's still a potential great player.
Right?
Do you have depth at that position? Absolutely. But that's, you know, that's not a position of need, but it doesn't mean if he doesn't come across your desk for something that doesn't hurt your organization that you don't take a look at it. And that's why Lou and his group, I'm sure, have made some phone calls to inquire how that would work out.
Well, it has been surprisingly quiet on that front. I mean, he's been out of the league for a number of years, but his name still rings out. Like,
for
he's
sure.
Ilya Kovalchuk. We're at the draft. He went first overall in 2001,
absolutely.
I believe.
Yeah.
So this is a guy who... He still has a lot of capability. He's going to supply an impact to wherever he ends up. Yet, again, we've been down in Chicago for a couple of days, and that's just not a name that a lot of people are buzzing about.
No.
Yet, you look at the other free agents that are out there, and technically he's not a free agent, again, because he's got to go through Jersey, and that could complicate things. But he should be considered high on that list.
Absolutely.
There are not a lot of great names available just for money via free agency.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at some of the chatter or people talking on the draft floor in front of us. John Chyka just did his media availability. Arizona doesn't look like they're done. He said, doesn't look like he's done making moves. Like Arizona, all of a sudden, parts with Dave Tippett, and they're a trading machine right now.
What is going on down there in Arizona? Like, they're a tough team to get a read on, and I just... I don't see the moves they made today. They improved as a team. There's no dancing
around.
Ryan,
there was a lot of times in the locker room I would sit and say to myself, like Detroit would load up, Colorado would load up, and we weren't making the playoffs, we weren't making deals. And there was a lot of times where I'd say to myself, what is our existence? Like, what the hell are we even in this league for? We're a non-factor. That's what they are. They're a non-factor.
Exactly. I mean, that's the
it's
truth.
It's just like they're one of the teams.
They're not. I don't see them being a playoff team next year.
They'll get dummied all year long.
They feel like that team that's just going to kind of hover around.
But that's
bottom five, bottom seven, and these moves are there to try to bolster that clearly, and that's why Stepan brought in Jalmerson will help them. Ranta, I'm not sure what he's going to bring in that. But
it reeks of an owner with his fingers all over it saying, go do this, go do that. And like I would love to be a fly on the wall and figure out how Dave Tippett ended up leaving. Like, he seemed to be a guy who loved veteran players. All of a sudden he leaves and they make all these trades for veteran players.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, we talked about it the other day. Shane Doan, I don't think there was anybody that disagreed that if you go to move away from a 40-year-old player, not a problem. That's the right move, you know, given where Shane Doan's game was at. But the way, I didn't like the way it was handled. And that's my biggest thing is, you know, if he found out from a press release, this is a guy who put 22 years into your organization. You can't, that's almost the Edmonton Oilers treatment with the Skype and Ralph Kruger.
Right.
Like, to me. And I just, I think he deserved better as far as communication. Not the end result, but you treat people with respect. And I just, I'd love to try and figure out what's going on in Arizona.
Well, I mean, they still have a lot of work to do.
Absolutely.
Right? So they very well could be active. And
yeah,
they traded away the 7th overall pick in the move with the Rangers, and now the Rangers are moving up. But there's a lot of teams at the top of this board that are going to be trying to dig out of a hole. I mean, Jersey, again, not a very good team. Colorado's awful. They picked 4th. Vancouver's on the clock at 5. They're still going the opposite way, in my opinion. They're yep. still going down before they start to swing up. And they've been pretty quiet yep. this week in Chicago, where last year it was the Jim Benning show. Like, we're going yeah. for Stamkos and Subban. You know, yeah. it's tampering left, right, and center. But as of right now, relatively quiet. So we're live in Chicago ahead of the NHL draft tonight. We're here until 7 p.m., and then the Tap Man and Dave Poulin taking over back in the studio. But we'll be live in the building with hits throughout the evening. So we're looking forward to it again. As of now, Jersey's on the clock. They still hold on to the first pick. Get you up to date on what's going on with the Leafs, a bunch of the rumors that are out there, and we keep breaking down what's been a busy day in the NHL. Ray Ferraro will join us, get his take on that. He'll kick off the 5 p.m. hour. Overdrive continues live from the NHL draft in Chicago, TSN 1050.